So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. The new state budget that will begin on July 1 includes $7.8 million for a dairy innovation hub. But what is a dairy innovation hub and how will it help America's Dairyland? The money will be divided among three UW System campuses. So to answer those questions, to my left is Dennis Shields, Chancellor of UW-Platteville. John Holyvoat is Director of the Government Affairs for the Dairy Business Association. Amy Pienerman owns Dutch Dairy in Thorpe, and she's a Vice President of the Dairy Business Association. Thank you all very much for helping all of us understand a dairy innovation hub. Amy, give us a view from the barn. How tough is it in Wisconsin now for dairy farmers?
Well, we're really optimistic. If you look last January to this January, things are looking up and improving. We just came off of 2019, a very wet and interesting year. That's behind us. Now we have 2020. We're in a new decade. And a lot of good things are happening, and we've got a lot of, we're really excited.
Well, you hear DadCap say, we lose two dairy farms a day. Is that still going on, with all due respect?
Yes, it is. You know, it's been a challenge because it's year over year that we've had challenging markets, and now we're hopefully that's behind us, and now we can move forward. But, yeah, it's an unfortunate statistic that's happening in the state.
You were on the actual panel that recommended, you were on the Dairy Task Force, correct?
That's correct.
That recommended the Dairy Innovation Hub. So before I ask these other two gentlemen, what were the broad goals? Why do we need a dairy innovation hub?
We want to make sure that dairy is around in our state. It's such a vital, important part of our state. We are the dairy capital of, you know, the nation, if not the world. My husband is an immigrant from the Netherlands to Wisconsin to dairy farm, and we want to remain that leader, you know, for the years and generations to come.
And Chancellor, you're one of three. The UW-Madison would get 52% of that 7-8. Platteville and River Falls would get 24%. Right. How have you seen the needs of your ag school change? You've been there almost 10 years, 9 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know, we've been engaged in research that's relevant to the dairy industry almost from our inception. About 3 years ago, we started a dairy science major on our campus. And that enables us to help develop the workforce and the intellectual capital needed to sort of help the dairy industry thrive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And John, what's your perspective on why we need a hub and its goals?
Well, I think what Amy said, it really resonates with me. The reality is, for many years, we've been a global leader in dairy research. While we've seen some other states make significant investments in that area of research, we kind of lagged behind the last few years. This is our chance to sort of play a little bit of catch up. It's also a chance to better build out the programs at both River Falls and Platteville, and also to do something that we haven't always done very well, which is make sure they're all working together, sort of pulling in the same direction and being collaborative in their research, so that we can kind of leverage each of those assets in a different way going forward.
Well, the 10,000-foot question, though, is we've had Platteville, River Falls, and Madison doing X amount of research and teaching in ag. What new research? Why do we need a hub that would do new things that aren't now being covered or taught? Do you want to, your thoughts,
well,
Chancellor?
Look, if this is an extension of the Wisconsin idea, so that we're going to listen to what the dairy industry is asking us to look into. We've done runoff research on our campus. Is one of the real strengths. We have a great researcher, Dennis Bush, who's been there for a number of years. And the environmental impact of the dairy industry is a challenge. And mm-hmm. so that's research that we can expand on moving forward. So that's one aspect. At Platteville, we have approaching 200 head of dairy cows ourselves.
So Pioneer Farm.
Exactly. And so we can help with the innovations on dairy milking and robotic milking and that kind of thing. And this hub gives us the resources to expand on that.
Okay. John, APS, and then Amy?
Yeah, I would say that some of the things that we're looking at are maybe weren't always the focus. Historically, maybe a lot of time was spent looking at forages, soil health, the idea of sort of getting more milk. Well, to your earlier point about sort of overproduction and some of what that's done to our milk price, right now that's not what we need. Instead, the focus actually is on things like better stewardship of the land, making sure that we're meeting consumer expectations when it comes to animal welfare. So some of those areas we haven't always had research, ongoing research in. So to do that, really, we need to hire new faculty. And that's the thrust of this funding, is to bring new researchers in to all three campuses.
And your hopes for the hub?
Yeah, and I'm excited because on our farm, we've utilized universities for different areas on the farm, whether it's for ventilation or for cow health. And to me, it's really exciting because technology changes. We try and embrace technology. We try to be on the forefront of technology on the farm. And I think with the Dairy Hub, these are our young, brilliant minds that are coming in, and they're going to come up with the next greatest thing. And we get to be on the forefront of that, and that's what's exciting. Because who knows what's out there? I mean, the sky's the limit as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, now working from a Legislative Fiscal Bureau paper that summarizes, let's go to a graphic that summarizes the four areas of research priorities that were recommended by the Dairy Task Force. You all have copies in front of you. So, steward land and water resources. Any thoughts on that? I want to bore down a little bit on all of these four areas. Steward land and water resources. What's that mean?
I'm happy to start. So, I mean, we know that last year the governor declared that the year of clean water. We're coming out just fresh off of new recommendations from the legislature about a whole host of legislative initiatives dealing with clean water. That's a big part of this. You know, we've already heard from the chancellor about some of the work that's being done there at Pioneer Farms about runoff. They're partnering actually with a farmer-led watershed initiative in that same area to continue that work and take it out on not just on the Pioneer Farm, but also on farms located throughout southwestern Wisconsin. So that's a big chunk of what we're talking about here is water quality and what water quality means. And that means a whole host of things, right? It's not just about monitoring where we're at, but it's also about testing new alternative things that we can be doing, whether that's cover crops and seeing which one is most effective depending on soil type, whether that's talking about building overall soil health so that you have healthy soil that's less likely to have leaching of nitrates or our bacteria to groundwater.
Right.
So that research is, again, already happening at some of those places, but this allows us to sort of double down on those efforts.
Chancellor, some of the nitrate readings in wells in southwest Wisconsin, your region, are pretty scary. Mm-hmm. Do you think dairy farms gets an unfair blame for some of those levels of contamination?
Well, I don't have the level of expertise about
Understand.
That to sort of comment on that. They probably bear some responsibility for that. But I believe that the farmers want to operate farms that are safe, that don't damage the water table, don't damage the soil. Mm-hmm. But they need to be educated and taught about the kinds of things that they can do to address those concerns. You can't be a farmer and not want to be a good steward of the land. I've never met a farmer. I grew up around farmers, right? They don't want their land damaged. They don't want their water table damaged. So our research can help them develop methodologies that allow them to address that.
Amy, you own and operate a farm with your husband.
Yep.
Do dairy farmers get a bad rap for some of these high nitrate levels in wells?
You know, and at times it is, and what people need to realize is, you know, we are the stewards of the land. I'm living on the farm. I'm drinking the water from our farm. I care about the land, and, you know, if there's new technologies out there for us to improve how we apply manure or what crops we plant, we're encouraged to go that route. And over time, I mean, if you look over the last 10, 15 years, how practices have changed, and they'll continue to change, and it's pretty exciting. And it's exciting to have the research being done so we can apply that on our farms. Because farmers, we don't have time to go out and take the classes and the education to be able to find out the different, you know, what else we can do. So it's really exciting to be able to have this happening and, you know, be able to learn from it and be able to apply it on our own farms.
Thank you. I want to go back to the graphic because the second priority is enrich animal health and welfare. Can somebody give me a PS on that or a summary of it? Anybody?
Well, happy cows produce milk. Happy cows are happy cows. And, you know, that's always important. And how could you make a cow happy? And, you know, we've got some technology that we use on our farm that we can watch our cow, you know, every second of the day, every hour of the day. And what else, what other technology is available out there to keep our cows healthy? Proactive instead of reactive. And that's what I'm excited about also.
A third priority, ensure human health and nutrition. And this gets into, reading again from the Physical Bureau, limit risk of foodborne illnesses, design packaging for convenience and shelf life, create lactose intolerant and allergy-free alternatives, improve the nutritional value of milk and meat, minimize pathogens. Boy, that's a huge charge. Is this something that Platteville would?
Well, you know, what else do we have at Platteville? We have engineers, mm-hmm. we have biologists, we have chemists. So all of those are people that can be engaged in developing these new technologies and new approaches. And most importantly, it gives our students a hands-on learning experience that allows them to immerse themselves in these issues and tie those various disciplines together and see how they impact one another.
And this is research that the Platteville budget doesn't now allow, correct?
Right, right.
Because you're getting an additional 1.8.
Right. We'll be able to hire researchers. We'll be able to set up academic programs that specifically enable this.
John, your thought on the ensure human health and nutrition component or goal?
I mean, obviously, that's a big, big part of what we do. We need to make sure we have a safe product going to market. Otherwise, people will not be keen on purchasing from us. In addition to promoting human nutrition, we're looking at trying to make sure that we can do research to show why we're an important component of consumers' diet. You've got not just the work going on at Platteville, but also got a dairy plant at River Falls. You have the Center for Dairy Research at Madison. So all three of these campuses can be working on that topic, which frankly goes right into sort of opportunities to grow business, goes into the fourth point as well.
Okay. Thank you. Then any PS on that, sir?
And alternatives. So I love this term, small ruminants, right?
Small ruminants.
So if they had asked me 2 years ago what a small ruminant was, I wouldn't have known. And but that's goats.
Please tell us.
Goats and sheep.
Small ruminants, goats.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Which is becoming tremendously popular, and so we're going to develop some
specialty cheeses.
Absolutely. And there are all kinds of specialty cheese operations popping up, particularly in southwest Wisconsin, because the Driftless region adds a special quality and taste. So you have international companies coming to set up enterprises in our region.
Isn't that exciting? Well, that just makes me, you know, our state is great for all types of different milk and different products and different, yeah, that makes me excited.
Back to the graphic for a fourth and final time. Another priority, grow farm and business communities. And when I read, reading again from the Physical Bureau paper, establish ag technology startups, use big data to optimize dairy farm operations, market specialty milk and meat products, develop a skilled and tech-savvy rural workforce. Amy, how would some of these changes look and play out on your farm?
You know, I'm in central Wisconsin in Clark County, and the infrastructure for internet is very poor. Actually, our internet has been down for the last 3 days because we're not on a high priority list to get, and our farm relies on the internet. I mean, like I said, we have technology that we need to watch our animals from hour to hour, so we're hanging by the thread here. So when we put this in our rural areas and our rural communities and we get technology and we get up to speed, that we can stay on top of where our farms need to grow, whether it's, you know, watching our animals or just doing our paperwork and our billing and different things like that. We need that infrastructure in order to be successful. And with that, it's our small communities that if we're around, then our communities thrive and everyone around us thrives.
Well, quick follow-up. Wisconsin Eye has done several shows on the emerging hemp industry. Have you and your neighbors considered hemp?
Some friends that do, and it's quite intriguing, and that's going to be another exciting crop that's going to come through to Wisconsin.
It is.
I'm excited.
Your friends that have applied for and gotten licenses for hemp, have they made any money?
That I don't know. They haven't disclosed. It's a lot of work. That's what I do know.
Okay. Well, back to the fourth priority, grow farm and business communities. Any thoughts on that, gentlemen?
Well, I mean, now is a perfect time to be talking about this. We've seen some high-level bankruptcies on the processor side in dairy with the Dean announcement and then followed up with the reorganization by Borden.
Yes.
To me, this is about that problem. Both of those companies had a heavy focus on fluid milk. And fluid milk consumption's down. In part, that's probably because cereal consumption's down, and those two always track each other. But for whatever reason, it may not be coming back, right? We need to think about where our next product lines are going to be, how we're innovative going into the future, and we give consumers what they're looking for. So what we've seen is people aren't sitting down for that bowl of cereal, but they might be grabbing some sort of protein shake or something and heading out the door. Well, we're kind of perfect for that. We're a high-protein, fluid-based product, so I'm pretty sure we can come up with something that people would like. So how do we fit that need? You know, they may not want to drink a glass of milk, but there's something that we can make with milk that will check their boxes of what they're looking for, and that's going to be important for us to keep growing and to just keep what we have right now and maintain our current markets.
Chancellor, thanks for representing the three universities that will be represented here at Platteville, River Falls, and Madison. How will the university communities be sure that there is no duplication of research? How can you be sure you're in charge of X, Y, and Z?
Well, I don't necessarily think that's a negative, right? You know, we are blessed to have a Research One institution like Madison that's engaging in this, and they can do basic research that's just sort of beyond our scope.
Okay.
We may be able to do pieces and actually do applications of it and sort of say, how does this play out? So we'll be working hand in hand with them. I also think that each one of us is going to be working very closely with an advisory group, and then those advisory groups will be working together. The beauty of this is that this is not just one institution going on and say, we like doing this, so we're going to do this. We're actually going to be collaborating with the institutions and also the industry leaders.
Let's talk about the changes that will be coming on the Platteville campus as a result of your $1.8 million. Now, the Fiscal Bureau summary says you'll be adding 4 to 5 faculty members, and that will take $650,000. Those faculty members would potentially be working on what types of projects?
Well, they'll teach some classes, but this will allow them the time to be free to develop the research. Some may be focused on the business end of it, mm-hmm. you know, to help farmers understand the tools that they need to track, okay, how to develop new business models. So if you're not going to do large-scale farming, how do you make a small farm profitable? What are the things you need to take into account there? Larger farms where they're going to be using robots to milk cows, we're actually going to have the robots on our campus that can help them figure out, okay, which ones are the best and how do you monitor them, that kind of thing.
Okay, and your schedule, the $640,000 of your share would go to update Pioneer Farms.
Right.
Exactly what types of new labs and...
Well, first of all, we've had robotic milking machines that have been down for a number of years. This will allow us to buy the newest technology and be using it and testing it. So that's one piece. I think in terms of the runoff research, there's technology needs there and also coordinating with our engineering program and that kind of thing that will take place. We're not going to be necessarily building a fancy new facility that would take a lot more money than what's been set aside. Right. But it will. If we show a facility at this, there actually may be industry partners that are interested in helping us do that sort of thing. We know there's an interest, for example, a lot of the cheese manufacturers can't experiment with new cheeses because that means they'd have to take a production line off. So we may be developing a facility, smaller scale, that allows them to test their new ideas there.
Is there a new generation of farmers that wants to do this research? That wants to benefit from this research in ag?
Absolutely. I think the...
organic. Thank you.
There's a huge market for that, and they want to figure out how to do that. So when we started our dairy science program, those companies and businesses were amongst the first to invest their own dollars in helping us develop that program. So there's an active market out there for universities and researchers to help support that industry.
Amy, is there a next generation of farmers that wants to operate the farms around you and your own farm?
Yes, and what we're seeing also on our farm is we're getting a lot of non-traditional farmers. As farms decrease in numbers in our state, we bring in high school students to work on the farm that don't have a farming background. But what's exciting about that is they don't have the preconceived notion of, oh, I'm not going to go outside in the cold because cows are stinking. I mean, this is a lot of work. This is hard work in the summer throwing hay. But there's a lot of different ideas that come out of that because they can apply a different side of where they've come from. And you can just find out different, you know, it's just a really exciting thing to pull in different types of farmers will be our future.
Even when they hear about it's been tough times in America's dairyland for the last couple of years?
You know, if we've got our...
Sadly?
Yeah, I know. And if our education system and if our universities are behind it and supporting it and they get hands-on, education, and they're gonna have an appetite to figure out how to do it and make it because it is such a wholesome, delicious product in the end, and it's a way of life, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
John, what's your vision of how the Hub Research is going to reach out to farmers like Amy across the state?
Well, and to your earlier question even about duplication, there's going to be a central person sort of leading this charge, you know, a central staff person. So part of that person's duties, they're being tasked with helping to disseminate the information that's gained through the Hub Research. Mm-hmm. And people are hungry for it. I mean, I spent the morning with a young farmer up in Pepin County, and he mentioned that his entire time when he's out milking, young guy, probably in his 20s, he's listening to podcasts about dairy research. So, I mean, they're there. These are smart groups of people who've gone back to the farm. They've gotten degrees from these institutions. They've returned home. It's exciting to see, you know, when you go to a rural county and you see a husband and a wife, both of whom have master's degrees from one of our institutions in some area, whether it's dairy science or something like that. There aren't too many couples in their county or in their town who would have that level of education, but they're back and they're in it to dairy. And that's exciting. And here we have a new initiative to sort of support those people to give them what they need to be successful going forward.
You must get asked, why should I consider farming, given that it's tough times right now? What's your elevator speech answer?
My elevator speech, we're creating a wholesome, delicious product in the end, and it's a way of life. And it's not just milking a cow. There's so much more that goes into it. And I've got 5 children that we're raising on the farm, and it's just of who we are, and it's just a wonderful way of life to be.
Have you got an elevator speech?
What I would tell you is that what's true in this industry and for students everywhere is that you're not going to get a job when you walk out of the university today and be doing that same job 10 years from now. In fact, your ability to grow and thrive is going to be your ability to adapt. If you ask me about a university, are we going to be the same university 10 years from now than we are today? If we are, we're not going to be doing very well. And so I see this as a real opportunity to have the university and business and industry help each other grow, adapt, and thrive into the future.
I should give you a chance. Your elevator speech when asked, why should I interview?
And I think that young people these days, you know, that sounds like a cliche, right? But, I mean, young people these days, I don't think they're not all about going for something that's maybe the most money or something like that. They want to make a difference. They want to do something that makes them feel good or they feel like there's a third dividend being paid back. I do think farming is definitely one of those career paths that you can take that checks that box. So when you're talking about is there a next generation, I think there's a next generation of people who are dying to get into this area, some of whom don't even know that yet. Mm-hmm. But there's something fulfilling and magical about being on the farm and that will give them something that they couldn't get elsewhere. Yeah. And I think they're going to be drawn back to that.
To get ready for the show, as I said, I spent a lot of time in the Fiscal Bureau summary of the Dairy Innovation Hub. And there's a line in here that I want to ask you about. Funds provided for the first year would be utilized for short-term investments focused on yielding quick returns to the industry. Short-term investments focused on yielding quick returns. I don't understand that. Anybody offer an example on that?
Well, for us, it's... purchasing the robotic milking equipment.
Okay.
So we get that up and running and start the research on that.
Okay.
And coming from the Dairy Task Force, I have to say, it's hard as a farmer, we're investing for our future. but how is that helping me today? We just came off of 4 years of low prices. Yes. So knowing that we can get some quick answers, if, you know, if we're looking into different types of robots or whatnot on the farm, this is going to be a short term, so for the long term haul, because we're in it for the long term. It's not going to be a short term fix right now.
It's important to remember this is not just coming out of the blue. We have a whole set of faculty and professors mm-hmm. and extension officers that have been working on these issues, and this is going to enable us to crank out what they do that much quicker.
Okay, which kind of takes me to maybe my last question. If the hub works well, how different will America's Dairyland and its industry and the ag industry be in 5 years? Amy?
Well, that's yet to be seen with our innovation and our technology.
But the goals?
The goals would be we're going to have healthy, sustainable farms. And we're going to not only sustainable farms, we'll improve water quality. We're going to be more efficient in our production egg. We're going to be more efficient with our cows. You know, it's just going to look a lot differently, and technology is going to play a huge part in that, too.
And we'll no longer be losing two dairy farms a day?
We will no longer be losing two dairy farms a day.
5 years out, your hopes, John?
My hope is the hub is a lot able to, it enables us to retake our position as the global leader in dairy research, and that when young postdocs are coming out of Cornell or Penn State, they're not thinking about staying put. They want to come here for their PhD. They want to do a postdoc where they would teach part of the time at Platteville and do research collaboratively as part of the hub. I want to make sure that when people think about where dairy is going, that Wisconsin's their answer.
Your vision, sir?
And I see the range of types of businesses that are involved in dairy expanding, that you'll see organic farming, that you'll see productive production farming, that you'll see specialty farm-to-fork operations that are thriving, and a workforce that's prepared to go in and help those businesses thrive.
What about this debate over meat substitutes? Is this part of this? The Impossible Burger? Anybody had one? No? Don't plan to have one?
I think, well, it's our time to shine, and we know that we produce a wholesome product, whether it's dairy, cheese, meat, and we know that our products will stand up against anything.
And I haven't had one either. Nobody's had an Impossible Burger.
Nope. It's against my contract.
I
have that. But I do think that, you know, to your point, this is actually about us helping to do a better job of marketing what we currently make now against that.
Okay.
Because it does stand up well to the alternatives.
Okay. So, closing question, exciting time when you have the Dairy Innovation Hub coming. Chancellor?
I think it's an extraordinary opportunity, and I'm grateful to the legislature and particularly the representatives of my region of the state, Travis Trandle, who serves on our advisory board.
Senator
Markline and Todd Novak, who I think helped move this along and make it possible. It's a great opportunity for the University of Wisconsin-Platteville.
Exciting, John?
Absolutely. I mean, for the entire state, right? We've got this unique opportunity to really do cross-campus collaboration in a way that, frankly, we've rarely done before. And it's going to be great to see how it works out. And I think it's something that we could actually, a model that if it works, we can use in other areas with other industries.
We started with a view from the barn.
Yeah.
Exciting,
and it's refreshing to know that our state is investing back in dairy, and that we've got a future that we can expand on and be around and remain to be the global leaders.
Okay, as I said, $7.8 million will be spent on the Dairy Innovation Hub beginning in the year starting July 1. I want to thank to my left Chancellor Dennis Shields of the UW Platteville, John Holyvoat, a director of the Government Affairs for the Dairy Business Association, Amy Peterman owns and operates Dutch Dairy in Thorpe and is a vice president of the Dairy Business Association. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.